Good. Yeah, so welcome. Welcome to Hayato Sumino, or Katin. Welcome to Hong Kong.
Thank you.
First time, right?
Yes, it's my first time. I just arrived today.
I see, it's great. So another round of applause, please, just because he's here at the University of Hong Kong.
Thank you.
I've been told that you cannot take any photographs because my face is copyrighted by EMI and Universal and Warner, so I cannot have any photographs with Katin. And also, Katin is a Steinway artist, and he's playing a Steinway that is clothed in a different brand today. So no photography, okay? Because if you take a photograph, we will do a duet. We'll sing a duet. That would be terrible because you sing like a cat, and I also sing like a cat. So that would be a terrible experience for everyone. So no photography. Anyway, so let's begin. It's so lovely to have you here.
And thank you for having me.
You have lots of fans. Your concert sold out in 24 hours. It's amazing. And that's because, obviously you're very young and cute. But you were younger and cuter before. And we have a video of you when you were 10. So let's have a video of Hayato when he was 10 years old, playing Chopin's, I think, first scherzo.
Yes, I think so. Oh.
Oh, that was amazing, wasn't it? Did you notice that? And then a little bit later in that YouTube video, it morphs into you playing at the Chopin piano competition, but the same piece.
Yes, in the first round.
Yes, let's have a look at this. That's amazing. I mean, it sounds exactly the same. So, obviously, between 15 years, you haven't really developed as a pianist at all.
That's pretty.
But it is amazing. I mean, obviously, because, you're playing that music at 10, I mean, your feet couldn't even touch the pedals at that time, right? I mean, that means you must have been a child prodigy. And yet, your parents, they didn't really push you as a child prodigy. I mean, they could have just said, okay, we're going to make you into the next Yevgeny Kissin. You're going to be this great pianist. But that never happened.
Maybe they didn't think I was prodigy at that time.
They didn't think you were prodigy? You were pretty amazing. Did they push you at all to be a great pianist?
Yeah, my mom was piano teacher, so that's how I started playing piano since I was three. But my mom was more like a freer person, not like typical Asian parents, like you should do it all the time. Not like that. So I'm thankful to my parents they're always open to anything while I was curious, not just music, but also I love mathematics, by the way. I love mathematics and like everything, game, other genre of music. So that's how I grew up.
Yeah, in fact, you didn't go and study music at all. You went to the University of Tokyo to study mathematics. It's very hard to get into the University of Tokyo.
Maybe. Yeah. But
you're obviously
Hong
a mathematical
Kong is also
genius.
Difficult, I guess. I know, I'm sure.
It's also hard to get into Hong Kong,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Was it difficult?
Yeah, these are geniuses. They're all like amazing.
I know.
They're amazing people.
I'm very honored to be here.
But you also obviously are very gifted in the sciences as well. So you studied science at university. I mean,
yes.
Was that a waste of studying, or did it really help with your career in the end?
Yeah, I hope so. I learned a lot from my experience in the University of Tokyo. Of course, science and music is strongly related, and like if you learn music theory, you have to know basic mathematics, of course. But not just that, what I just learned the most in the experience of studying in the University of Tokyo is the spirit of researcher, which means what I want to do is always creating, developing, discovering something new, something no one has been done before. That's researcher is always doing. They have to write a paper and discover and write what they discovered, what they made, something new. And which is very difficult because there are a lot of people in the world. Oh, if you think you discover something, it is probably somebody's already discovered. So it happens quite a lot. So it's very, very difficult to find something new, but researchers have to do that. And after that, I ended up becoming artist, musician. But what I'm doing right now is not that far from what I was doing when I was researching at the University of Tokyo. So yeah, I learned a lot from that.
Yeah, it's really tough being a professor, I can tell you. But but it's true. I mean, this whole innovative new thinking, right? Mm-hmm. So if you didn't become a professional pianist, you would probably be aim to be a researcher somewhere in the sciences.
Yeah.
But you're able to now transfer that into a very unique. And you're a very unique musician, let's put it that way, because you're always innovating. And I was thinking, actually, you know, had your parents tried to squeeze you into the classical piano mold, or had you gone to some kind of conservatory, maybe you would have been a very different musician today.
You mean...
I mean, if you know, we were trying to, if people say, oh, you know, this guy, he's so talented at the piano, let's just make him, you know, into the great pianist. Let's just take him to the music conservatory and make him into that, and just focus there. The ability to do other things and to play other music and to just be a little bit freer, maybe the secret behind who you are.
Yeah, until I was 10 years old, I was seriously practicing classical music, classical piano all the time. But later, I became like how can I say? I didn't listen to what my parents are saying, so I just did what I wanted to do. But my parents didn't say strongly, like, don't do it. And they are kind of okay with that. And after entering junior high school, my interests about music became more like into jazz music, pop music, rock music, electronic music, I don't know. So that's how I started playing other genre of music.
Yeah, and that comes out now, of course, as a musician. So do you, you know, see yourself as a pianist, like in the tradition, like your aspiration is to be like, I don't know, Murray Pariah or András Schiff or Martha Argerich? Is that how you see yourself in your future?
Not exactly, but of course I admire all of them. They're all great pianists. But as a pianist living in 21st century, now this is really, I think, really hard time for all classical musicians because there are already bunch of good recordings, so like Chopin, Beethoven, like how many good recordings in the world already, and how can we add more to that? People like Margaret Maraperia did great work, and already. So our generation, I think, in my opinion, our generation have to think something other, new. I don't know what it is, but that's what I always trying to find, and trying to look to the future.
Yes.
Not just the past.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that classical music is sometimes a little bit too serious?
Too serious. Yeah, I think it's good to be serious, but yeah, I understand, yes.
But is it too serious?
Too serious, yes.
I always think about, there was a philosopher called Arthur Schopenhauer, who invented the term serious music. So classical music is serious music because it says very deep things about the nature of the world and so on. And so music became very, very serious.
Yeah.
But sometimes when I see you in your videos and your YouTube, you know, playing, I feel that maybe we take music too seriously, classical music, and sometimes we just need to have a lot more fun.
Mm. Yes, exactly. We do music for fun originally, and I was lucky because I didn't go to any musical school, and I just posted videos on YouTube since when I was junior high school student. So it was just for fun at first, and I still have the spirit of it. And it's quite natural to me to enjoy music.
Do you think you are a new type of a musical phenomenon? I mean, you're not in the mold of, you know, Mary Pariah and Argerich and so on. Do you think you're sort of pioneering a new thing?
I don't know myself. I hope so. I hope I could become like that in the future.
Well,
but still,
yeah.
Learning.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to me because, you know, I mean, it's not easy to sell out a concert in 24 hours, right? And it seems to me that somehow you've managed to do something that has created a buzz, probably particularly on the internet. You know, you have millions of followers. Can you say a little bit about how you created that fan base, how it all happened, and how, you know, you've become a kind of, I can't call you a celebrity, but somebody that sort of creates a lot of buzz around classical music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't even expect it that my channel would become this big. But I started uploading videos on YouTube when I was junior high school, which is 12 years ago, quite old. My first video was not even piano performance, it was game playing video. So it's completely just for fun. And I started playing, uploading my piano performance around 6 years ago, 5 to 6 years ago, and still it's just for fun, because I was just computer science student at that time. And you know, 3 years ago, the COVID came. And before that, 5 years ago, I won one of the biggest competition in Japan. That's how my musical career started, actually. And from around that time, I started thinking, how can I become a pianist? I mean, professional pianist. This is very hard, and every pianist has to be unique, but there are a bunch of pianists in the world. So, but I had YouTube channel, and I did improvisation, I did arrangement for fun. So I thought that's my one of my strengths. It would be good to combine my classical background, classical technique, and like arranging improvisational skills. And so from five to four years ago, I started thinking about that. And 3 years ago, you know, the COVID came and all concerts have canceled. And I had to stay at home, not just me. Everybody stayed at, had to stay at home. And so I spent all my time creating YouTube contents. And somehow people started watching my YouTube channel. And yeah, that's how.
Somehow. Somehow. It's amazing content. It's a quite amazing content. You should see it. Okay, so you know, you adopted a kind of name, I mean Katin, with all those videos. I mean, can you tell me a little bit about that name and how it came about and whether there's a difference between, you know, Sumino and Katin?
You mean the how?
Well, how you got the name, and then whether they're two different brands. That's what.
Yes. Originally, the name Katin is my handle name for music game. So it came out of nowhere. Very random name, actually. But one of the reasons is that I love cats. And I have two cats at my parents' house, and I was a teenager at that time. But I didn't expect I'm still using the name Katin.
Yeah, your video game name.
Now
yeah.
I'm 28 years old. But
that's amazing. I have a video. This is your waltz that you wrote for your cat, I think.
Yes.
And a
yes.
picture of your cat as well, I think.
Yes.
So let's have a look at your cat.
It's very cute.
Okay, that's your cat. Can you tell us about your cat?
Yeah, his name is Pudding. Pudding.
Pudding.
Yeah, oh. Pudding, because okay. It's pudding color.
And okay.
And as you can see, he's kind of big and fat. But he runs, jumps fast, easily. So I thought it's very cute and lovely. And funny, so I decided to make a piece for him.
And you're going to play that on in the concerts, actually?
Yes, yes. You're
the Big Cat Waltz.
Yes, it's called Big Cat Waltz. The style is based on Romantic Ehlers waltz, like Chopin waltz. And I added a little bit of like catting element.
So what's catty? What's the cat bit of the waltz? Can you play any bit that sounds like cat?
Sounds like cat?
Yeah, is there a cat bit? Like a I don't know,
so
like a cat's do? Like a meow?
For This is a main melody of the piece. Oh, thank you.
And that describes your cat.
Yeah, it describes how he jumps, runs with his fat body.
Oh, it sounds pretty elegant cat to me. Yes, an amazing cat. I mean, you're a little bit like Chopin. I mean, Chopin wrote a cat waltz as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Minute waltz.
For.
Yes.
That's a dog one, I think, and there's a cat one as well. I think the cat jumps onto the keyboard.
Yes, exactly.
But talking about, I mean, you're playing. You're going to pair that with a Chopin waltz.
Yes,
but not the cat one. Another one.
Yeah, the tomorrow and after tomorrow, I'm playing together with Chopin waltz number one.
Yes.
But in my album, it's called Hayatusen. It was 3 years ago. I put minute waltz by Chopin after Bicat waltz. So it's okay. Pairing like homage to Chopin.
Yes. It's an animal pairing. That's great. but talk about Chopin. I mean, it seems to me, anyway, that a lot of what you do and the music that you write is very Chopin-like. Or not in style, but you know, you seem to be a very Chopin-like person. Do you feel very close to Chopin as a composer?
Yes, I can definitely say Chopin is one of the closest composer to me. In terms of not just his musical style, but also somehow his aesthetics. His music is, you know, perfect. He's pretty much perfectionist, but at the same time, he was an improviser. So he plays perfectly as if he's improvising. The balance of it between the is brilliant, amazing to me. And Chopin once said, the simplicity is the final achievement. I really like the sentence. And so Chopin inspired me a lot, not just musically, but as an artist.
Yes,
musician.
I mean, I get that kind of perfection, but also that freedom of improvisation.
Yeah.
That requires a lot of work and practice to be at that level of improvisation.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So it must have been delightful for you to join the Chopin piano competition, since you feel so close to Chopin, and then you can just keep playing Chopin. And of course, you got into the semifinals. I mean, that's quite amazing too, right?
Yeah. I hope it was delightful, but yeah, of course it was. It was. Yeah,
well, I think the audience was delighted. Were you? Was it a kind of nerve-wracking experience?
It was both delightful and terrible.
And terrible.
Terrible pressure. I never experienced that big pressure in my life, to be honest. Yeah. I now I can say it was great experience, but at that time, 2 years ago, it was awful. My mental was awful.
Really? So it was a lot of pressure. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But did it improve your playing, or did it just make it really difficult to play?
To be honest, the preliminary round was the most. I was the most nervous at the preliminary round. As the round goes up, my nervousness got less and less. But still, my fingers are shaking and my legs are also shaking. But anyway, it was a good experience. And
will you do it again? But yeah, I don't think you need to. But of course, you've started recording Chopin as well. You've made a wonderful recording with Marion Alsop of the E minor piano concerto.
Last year. Yeah. So I couldn't make it this final, so I couldn't play the Chopin piano concerto. To me, the result was not just important. Of course, it's important, but the result is just the result. So, but I wanted to perform the Chopin piano concert, but I couldn't. But 1 year later, I finally got a chance to perform Chopin piano concert with Polish orchestra, with Marion Alsop, American conductor. She's pretty amazing.
She's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you're very lucky. I mean, you have Marion Alsop and the Polish orchestra to do Chopin.
Yeah. So I recorded it, and it was memorable experience.
No, that's amazing that is. So it all worked out really well in that sense. But I was following your Japan tour, because you did a tour.
Yeah.
And you know what's really interesting about that tour is that the mixture of music that you play in a concert. I think, of course, you would play your Chopin, you play your Bach, and then you play your own music. Mm. And then I think at one point you went to the organ and you played on the organ. Isn't that right? I mean, you use your feet as well, right? I mean,
yeah.
So you also learned the organ.
But that
at
was
some
only
point.
One time. I'm not a professional organist. No.
And then you went to an upright piano. And then you played.
Yeah, I love upright pianos.
You love upright pianos.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you played on I think something like a Keith Jarrett-like, Danny Boy improvisation as well.
Yeah, I played Danny Boy as an encore.
Yeah. So you have all this in one concert, right? You have jazz and whatever, pop and Bach and your own music. And I mean, it's that diversity of styles and genres that just struck me as something that is quite unusual. Uh-huh. And I don't know how you do it, because it's very difficult to keep jumping between styles and also to be able to get into the groove of each style. And and it just seems to me that you're like a kind of AI machine. You can just press a button and you know, Keith Jarrett comes out, press another button and, you know, it's a bit of Bach invention. And I press another button and you're like, you know, amazing Chopin. You know, how do you
do that? I wish I had a button like that, but I...
I'm sure because you work so hard. But I mean, how do you do that? Because that is really, really difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course it is difficult, but what I did the last Chopin tour is I played Bach, Rameau, like Bach music, and at the same time I played Kapustin, Friedrich Gruder, like modern, kind of like jazz inspired music. But what I wanted to do is to make audience feel the similarity between Baroque music and modern music. Of course, the time is pretty much different, but still, I find some kind of similarity between it. It's Baroque music is very sometimes very rhythmic, groovy, as Kapustin's music has. So. Of course, it is difficult to switch between classical music style and jazz music style, but I also trying to make use of my ability to be able to play both. It could make kind of like new interpretation of Baroque music. Because Baroque music, but in Baroque music era, all people did improvisation normally until 19th century. Nowadays, nobody does. But so, in terms of improvisation, it's kind of similar. In terms of rhythm, grooviness, kind of similar. So that's what I wanted to do at my Japan tour. I didn't usually play like jazz music in my classical concert. But still I'm trying to combine jazz essence with classical music.
So some people may not know the Kapustin piece. It's not that well known, but it's a very jazzy piece. It has a lot of kind of boogie-woogie rhythms in it.
Yeah, his background is...
And so you're going to do something interesting in your second concert, I think. You're going to play some Bach, your arrangement of Bach inventions.
Yeah.
And you're going to put it in between the different etudes, but in the Kapustin etudes, is that right?
Yes.
Maybe you can show us the relation a little bit between sort of jazzy Bach as it were, or the rhythmic Baroque rhythm and the kind of jazz-inspired rhythm that you get in the... show us what that means and that you get in the Kapustin.
Yes. That's exactly what I want to do. And so for example, there are 8 etudes of Kapustin. And for example, after number 6, it's called Pastoral. It ends with B flat, and I start playing. It's both B flat major, and also after number 5. It ends with D, and So it's kind of like all connected between different era.
That's cool.
Music.
Yeah, so you get
thought it's cool.
No, it's cool because you get everybody to hear the connections between a few centuries, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of music between Baroque and a more sort of jazzy 20th century idiom.
Yeah. Yeah. What I want to do is to present our era's music as well as traditional classical music, to make traditional classical music alive. No, it's not. I believe the classical music is not just past music or past or heritage music. It's still evolving and still changing. Mm. So I have to. I want to. Tell about that.
Yeah, no, I think it's amazing. Because I do think it's very hard to, particularly to transition between jazz and classical. I mean, not many musicians have been able to do that so well. I mean, a lot of jazz musicians try to play classical and do really badly, and some classical musicians try and do jazz and do it really badly. But you seem to be able to do that. I mean, there's some exceptions.
Not sure, but yeah.
So, I mean, I think who would your heroes be, the people who've been able to do both?
Gruda, yes.
Friedrich Gruda.
Friedrich Gruda,
yes. Of course, amazing.
He's amazing. He's playing Mozart amazingly, but also he's cleverly with legendary jazz
amazing
musicians.
Jazz. Yes, so. Yes. So it's jazz and Mozart. And I guess someone like Keith Jarrett would be kind of Bach and jazz as well.
Yes.
Oh, I look forward to this interesting. I mean, I listened to some of your jazz. And it's quite amazing, your improvisations. It's very, is it a bit of that what you were talking about, Chopin, that kind of attempt to be really well-heard music, not just empty improvisation, but free, improvised in that sense as well. I was wondering, I mean, I could feel a lot of the influence of the Japanese jazz pianist Hiromi in a lot of your work. Is that a big influence?
Yes, definitely. That's exactly how I got to like jazz music when I was junior high school, 14 years old. I discovered her first album called Another Mind, and it blew my mind. Oh, it was so cool. And I started playing jazz music all by myself. So I didn't know at all about jazz music at that time. But yes, that's how I...
Well, I hope you get to play with Hiromi at some point. It'd be very cool.
I hope so.
The other thing that's interesting about your work, I think, is that in many ways you are an ambassador for Japanese culture, particularly Japanese popular culture. I think, you know, when I see what you do, you obviously bring...
Joe Hisaishi.
Yeah, you know...
Sakamoto.
Yeah, Sakamoto. All that, you know, stuff from those Ghibli studio movies. Mm-hmm. And of course, in a way, that Japanese culture is now becoming very, you know, global, and everybody's, you know, so you are kind of riding also on that wave and being kind of bringing a particular style of Japanese aesthetics, I think, to classical music in some sense.
Yes, as a Japanese who grew up in Japan, I really love Japanese music, and it's somehow close to me, close to my aesthetics. It's very difficult to explain in words, but somehow I think it's a little bit close to Chopin's music as well. It's very pretty, prefer to be simple, and calm and beautiful. Yeah, it's difficult to explain. But anyway,
there's no embarrassment about being beautiful. Mm. I think that's one of the key things. And of course, you know, the sort of the cuteness. I mean, the kawaii.
I know
you're a Steinway artist, not a kawaii artist. But that sort of kawaii.
But my toy piano is kawaii.
But that cuteness. I mean, even the cat thing, right? Uh-huh. It is cute. And you know, when you play a lot of that music, that sense of beauty, but also it's a kind of sweetness that comes out. Do you have a favorite sort of, you know, Ghibli, Joe, Hisashi piece that you like playing?
Oh yeah, a lot of pieces. My most favorite piece is, I think, this one, Spirited Away, One Summer's Day.
Right.
Yeah. It came out when I was 6 years old, 2001. So I grew up with this movie.
That's an amazing cartoon, movie, actually. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's great. So let's talk a little bit about improvisation. We've talked about that already.
Improvisation, okay.
Yeah, and the importance of improvisation for musicians, particularly for classical musicians, which are often very notation bound. I mean, what's your view on improvisation and how it helps a musicianship?
I think improvisation is most intuitive way of expressing music. I think it's same as learning languages. I think improvisation helps to understand classical music more, even more, not just for fun. So, for example, when I was studying Mazurka, Chopin Mazurka 3 years ago, I found very difficult playing Mazurka naturally. So I started randomly improvising, practicing improvising on the style of Mazurka after listening Polish people speaking. Because somehow, to me, Polish language sounds similar to Mazurka's rhythm. So I randomly improvise in the style of Mazurka, and which helped me a lot to understand Mazurka, what is Mazurka. I'm not confident that I'm now perfectly understand, and I perfectly understand right now, but still, it was helpful. And it can apply to all genres of music. Let's say, I don't know, when you play Rachmaninoff, then maybe trying to improvise in the style of Rachmaninoff helps you to understand more about Rachmaninoff music. So, for example, when, let's say, your actress playing some characters, and maybe, of course, you memorize the plot, but not just memorizing plot, you're maybe trying to speak like the character, improvise. That's improvisation, and that's how improvisation is important. Even when I play rhythm music. Yeah.
So let's have a game.
Okay.
Should we take an improvisation game? Are you game for this game? So I think what we're going to do is we're going to invent a theme for you to improvise on.
Okay.
Okay. So we will call out different notes. Okay. How many notes would you like? Six, five? Okay.
Want.
All right. Let's see. Okay. Can you give me a note? Yeah. Any note? D. Okay. D. We have D. Anybody else want to throw out a note? How about you?
A.
Oh, it's too easy, man. Okay. Okay. Give me something harder, man. Okay. Anybody wants to offer another note? An F? You want to give a D minor triad?
You said S? F? F? S?
E.
It's like snake.
Oh, S.
S. F? S?
That'd be a bit tricky. Let's not do it. We don't do an S. We'll just go up to H. We could do a Bach. But anyway, okay, we have a D and an A. A G sharp. Okay. Oh. All right. Oh, yes, at the back. D sharp. Or do you want E flat? Okay, okay. Oh, okay, this is going to be very Spanish.
Oh, really?
Okay, okay, so, okay, one more, another note? Yes.
C sharp.
Yeah, whoa. We are very dissonant in Hong Kong. We're really very dissonant people. And I'll give you the last note. Okay, is that enough?
Okay.
Okay.
Wow. How can I do that?
That's not bad. Not bad. That's not bad.
Thank you.
Can you do a Bach art of fugue improvisation? I mean, can you do a kind of like a maybe a 5-part fugue with inversion and retrograde inversion,
oh
and
gosh.
Then the augmentation and diminution? Can you do that? Yeah, I mean, you're a mathematician, right? So you could.
I will think about that.
not today.
Not today.
That was amazing. That was beautiful. Yeah. What are your dreams for the future? I mean, what do you want to do? I mean, you're still in your 20s. I mean, how do you see your career mapping out, whether you want to achieve?
I don't even know that. I usually don't say I want to do this in the future. I'm introvert person. So I don't really say that, but what I'm doing, what I want to do is to be myself, to be unique, to be only me, something only me. And probably it will be around classical field, but not just classical field. Since I'm living in 21st century, I have to study more, and I want to compose more, and try to find something myself. I don't know.
Well, that's pretty amazing. I mean, I think talking about, you know, being unique and composing, I mean, let's talk a little bit about your program for the two concerts. They're slightly different because you're ending them slightly differently. You're pairing different pieces, mostly a kind of Chopin piece and then one of your pieces. Can you tell us a little bit about the way you're pairing, these standard pieces with your own music?
So first two pieces, Chopin Waltz and Bicat Waltz. So as I talked before, Bicat Waltz is based on the Chopin style of waltz. So I thought it makes sense to play two pieces together. And later I play Barrel Number 2 and Recollection, my piece. The piece Recollection is based on the theme of Barrel Number 2. And it's like kind of recomposition, rearrangement of Barrel Number 2.
Can you play the F major theme and then your theme?
You know, this is the Barrel Number 2. and the recollection is. Kind of like that. I composed this just after the competition to recollect the memory between Chopin and about Chopin and Poland.
Yeah, you've definitely captured the sense of nostalgia and memory in that. Beautiful, very beautiful. And what about then? Then you play the Chopin Nocturne, the C minor, the big C minor Nocturne, and then paired with New Birth.
Yes, because the recollection, the piece recollection ends with C. So after that.
I see.
Completely seamless. And the piece New Birth, called New Birth, is C major. It's based on Chopin Etude, Opus 10, number 1. Then, so I just borrowed the motif of Chopin Etude, Opus 10, number 1. And I did original melody and harmony.
So. That's wonderful. And then you're going to play the famous A-flat Polonaise by Chopin, and then the Bach, also famous Italian concerto. And then you're going to, the first night, you're going to do Gershwin, your arrangement of I Got Rhythm, which I'm sure is very groovy. And then I think, is it also your arrangement of the Rhapsody in Blue?
Yes, it's. Yeah, I'm not sure I should say it's my arrangement, but I put some my own cadenza between it. It's all solo piece, for example, in this part, then I go somewhere else.
Then you have a bit of catin. So you're going to have you're going to improvise basically off that, right? And we've already talked about what you're going to do with the
Bach and the Kapustin.
Yes. It should be also very, very exciting. Now we're going to end soon, but I thought we would end in a series of very quick questions.
Question. Okay.
Very my quick, because I'm a very shallow person, so I just have very silly questions.
Too.
Like I want to know, what you order at McDonald's, that kind of thing, and that's the kind of professor I am. And so I have a bunch of very short questions, and I don't want you to think about it too much. Just answer them quickly.
Okay.
Should we try this? We'll try this.
Okay. I'll try my best.
Yeah, we try. Okay. So, what is your favorite color?
Color. blue.
Blue. Okay, good. What's your favorite food?
Food. Fried rice.
Fried rice. Okay, good. You're in the right place. Okay. Now, what's your favorite animal apart from cats?
Shiba dog.
Oh, Shiba. Yeah. Very cute. Okay. You have one?
I wanna show something. I just met cute Shiba 1 hour ago.
at the park.
Oh, I think this should be a composition now. I think we should have a Hong Kong Shiba.
Hong Kong Shiba waltz.
Yeah, a waltz. A Hong Kong Shiba waltz. That'd be really good. That would go very well with your next program. That's fantastic. Yeah. And what book are you reading now?
What book?
Yeah.
I don't know how to say it in English, but it's multiple interviews about classical musicians. I can show you later, but I don't know the title.
Interviews about classical music.
Yeah.
By lots of different people?
Yeah, lots of different people. Like Zimmermann, Pascal Roger, Michel Belov.
Okay, all right.
You might know it's originally from Taiwan, I guess.
Sharon, he's from Taiwan. You must know. Must be from that PhD student that was at King's College London and then started writing.
It's by Taiwanese interviewer.
Remember the guy? Huh? Jiao Yanpu.
I think so. I think so.
Oh, okay.
I didn't remember the name, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. We've worked with him too. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, okay. Cool. I'm glad you're reading that. Yeah, you have good taste. So what's the top piece of music on your playlist right now?
Top?
Yeah, what's the piece of music that you're listening to on your playlist, either on your, I don't know.
Recently, Kapustin Piano Concert number 2. It's very fun to play, fun to listen. Oh. I never played yet, but
all right. I have to listen to this. I don't know it. Okay.
Okay. It's pretty much big band sound.
Oh, okay.
With strings.
Oh, amazing. I look forward to your recording of that. Then I think that's going to happen.
Someday.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you could meet anyone in the world, who would it be?
Sorry?
If you could meet anybody in the world.
Anybody in the world?
Yeah, who would you like to meet?
Ryuichi Sakamoto, but he passed away.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Did you ever meet him? You never met him?
No. He was sick and already around four years ago.
Yeah.
When I became musician,
he
was already sick, so I didn't have a chance to meet with him.
All right. Okay, that's sad. So, who inspires you the most?
Who inspires me the most? Yeah. I could say Ryuichi Sakamoto, but aside from him, do you know Makoto Ozone? He's also a Japanese jazz pianist.
No, I don't think. Do you guys know Makoto?
Oh, you know.
Can you say the name again?
Makoto Ozone.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, okay. You want to come play? No, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this is another thing we have to listen for. Okay. Okay, great. No, it's good. Yeah, I'm learning a lot. So who cuts your hair?
Japanese.
Japanese stylist. Okay, Japanese someone in Tokyo. Okay.
But funny thing is, I once showed Chopin's face to him.
Oh. This is a Chopin
like
cut.
That. Oh. Since 2 years ago. I don't really like him.
That's why I thought you liked Chopin. I get it. Okay. So do you follow sports at all? Do you have a favorite sport or do
sports,
you play sports?
It's not my thing.
Not your thing?
I don't.
Okay. Okay. You're like
unfortunately.
Me. I know. No sport. Okay. Okay. If there's one piece of music you wished you had composed, what would that piece be?
Sorry?
If there's one piece of music that you wished you had composed, what would that piece of music be?
The piece that already exists?
Yes. That's already composed, but you wished you composed it.
That's a difficult question. what's
Oh, it's a very difficult question, sorry.
Chopin? No. Levels? No. No, it is very difficult.
It's too
question.
Difficult. Too difficult. There are too many great pieces of music.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay.
And I cannot say I composed it.
No. But if you could. Yeah.
Of course. But it's...
That's true. What about if you could play a duet with another pianist, who would that pianist be?
If you
could play a duet with another pianist, who would that person be?
Hiromi.
Oh, you would be Hiromi? Okay.
Agarit. Martha Agarit.
Agarit. Oh, yes. That'd be amazing. Good choices.
That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. What's your favorite place in Japan?
Favorite place?
In Japan.
Tokyo. It's too normal.
Is that too normal? Okay. Yeah. It's too normal. Is there a cafe there or a restaurant there or?
Well, I prefer seaside. Mm. It's less crowded and you know, Tokyo is too many people. Like Hong Kong, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
So Shibuya, Shinjuku, it's awful. Too many people. It's too many. Too crowded. But have you ever been to Japan? Have you?
Yeah, I think many people have been to
many
Japan.
Many people have been to Japan.
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Odaiba, something like Odaiba, seaside. It's less crowded and calm.
Okay, that's good. So. All right, that's another question then. as a Steinway artist, yeah. Can you ask Steinway to donate a piano for this room? That's not an answer. Okay, you're not answering that one. So who do you prefer? Wagner or Brahms?
Wagner or Brahms? Both are not my thing.
Both are not your thing. Neither.
But Brahms. I would say Brahms.
Okay.
Wagner is too strong for me.
Yeah, he's not by the beach. Okay. And what about Schoenberg or Stravinsky?
Schoenberg, Stravinsky.
Okay.
I love Stravinsky.
BTS or Blackpink?
I would say BTS, because Blackpink. Okay. I don't know that much about Blackpink. I should study.
Okay, so go with the safe one. That's good, all right. Yeah. So what's your favorite favorite brand of sneakers?
Sneakers?
Yeah. Your trainers.
I don't usually wear sneakers, but Adidas, maybe?
Okay, Adidas. All right, an Adidas person. And your all-time favorite movie?
All-time favorite movie, The Pianist.
The Pianist?
The Pianist.
Yeah.
Ralph Spielman.
Yes.
The Jewish, the movie of a Jewish pianist who survived during the World War II.
Yes. Brilliant movie. Yes. Okay, last question. Who is the most amazing music professor that you've ever met at Hong Kong U? Correct answer. Ladies and gentlemen, please thank Hayato Sumino or Katin. You've been amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Photographs.
Brilliant.
Okay. Come to the concert, right, tomorrow.